Welcome to Loading the Bar with physical training experts Parker McBride and Matt Wasko. Our Fit Lifestyle podcast covers the science of nutrition and fitness, together with the challenges we all face to be disciplined. We'll guide you through the minefields of fads and gimmicks and all manner of BS that tempt us in today's fitness world. Ready to begin? Then let's start loading the bar.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Loading the Bar podcast. Parker and Matt here, bringing you guys another great episode. It is, what, 4 days after Christmas now?
4 days after Christmas, yes.
How was your Christmas, Matt?
Man, I made out like a bandit.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I got, I had a new pair of training pants. I got, my son bought me a fancy pair of P448s. Bought me a Vuori jacket. My wife got me two new tops.
A whole new wardrobe. I
mean, yeah, man. I've just been like wearing new garb the last week here. So it felt good. So I've made out like a bandit. So I'm feeling, usually me and my wife don't buy much for each other, but we kind of did this time. And ended up getting my wife some fairly, I wouldn't say they were super expensive, but there was some money involved in buying her some jewelry. So, we usually don't spend that much on each other, but this year we did.
So, that's cool.
Yeah.
It was our son's first Christmas.
Yeah.
That was very fun and exciting. He got plenty of gifts. He's just kind of at that stage where he can kind of understand what's going on. You know, he'll reach out and kind of pull on the paper a little bit, but not old enough to where he can really open gifts himself.
Right.
Or really understand what's going on.
Right. Right.
It was still really fun, though. And I'm sure it'll be even more fun in the future.
Yeah.
Like next year.
He's 10 months?
7 months.
7 months.
Yeah.
Man, way off. 7 months. So he probably got into it. He pulled on the paper,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. He'd pull on the paper. And then he'd pull it off, try to put it in his mouth, So
he tried to eat his gifts. That's pretty typical child behavior. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, good.
It was a lot of fun. And our beloved Chiefs played a game on Christmas.
Yes.
They've actually played. They played 3 games in 11 days there for a while. It was quick, bam, bam, bam. And they won them all. Three wins. And they locked up the number one seed in the AFC in the process. Home field advantage throughout the playoffs. They're currently sitting with a 15-1 record with one game to play.
And I think I predicted, what did I predict? 27-26 or something? Or
yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, they ended up winning 29-, they played a Wednesday game, which we didn't predict that one. We just did the Sunday one, or the Saturday one.
Saturday against the Texans.
Yeah. So we didn't do the Wednesday one, which was against
Pittsburgh.
Steelers.
Yeah, against the Steelers.
So that one they actually won fairly handily.
29-10.
Yeah, and now it was kind of close in the first half. They kind of looking like the same old Chiefs in the first maybe quarter and a half. But then got into third and fourth quarter, they started showing something I haven't seen most of the year, which is like put a team down and keep them down.
They did. That was that might have been the biggest margin of victory they had all season.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, they haven't won a game that much distance the whole season.
It's looking impressive, but now they have a nice little break here. They don't play till the next Sunday now.
Right.
So they've got quite a little break. They do not play again before our next podcast, so we'll predict their next game on that podcast.
And that'll be the last game of the season.
Last game of the season, yep.
Yeah. Do you know who they play?
Denver Broncos.
Denver.
In Denver.
Man, we might go 16-1.
Very good chance of it.
That's crazy. I mean, if you have a team that goes 16-1, I would be like, man, this is the team to beat. But the way they play, where every game is down to the line, I don't know, man.
I still say they're the team to beat. Who else?
They have to be the team to beat. They're 15-1.
Yeah.
I mean,
best record in the league.
Yeah. So they're just kind of a a frustrating team to watch at times. Like, they should put teams down and out, and they just kind of, it's like they're a dog playing with its food type of thing.
So. Yeah, well, we'll see how they do a little over a week from now. Yes. So, Fit Focus segment now. What we've got today for you, good article from Science Direct. Bear with me as I read this.
Yeah.
Gut epithelial barrier damage caused by dishwasher detergents and rinse aids. So, Matt, you want to give us a little breakdown of what this article talks about?
Yeah, so I'm going to do kind of high level because it gets pretty deep into this article.
Very technical.
Yeah, very technical and reading it. So basically what we've discovered is that our detergents that we use, and this one's specifically talking about dishwashing detergents. We could also cover laundry detergents, but... because there's some things in those as well. But there's an ingredient that is used in this. Do you remember what it is? I can't remember the name of it, but there's an ingredient that keeps your glasses streak-free and allows them to look, you know, there's no streaks like you would sometimes find with hard water and stuff like that. And so it removes that, and then you drink it, and it's a gut, it damages your gut barrier. And it causes all kinds of different issues that they have discovered with the study. And it's no surprise. You know, there's just nothing you really touch these days that doesn't have some type of chemical in there that was put in there to make the selling of the product either more efficient, that's not correct, to make the product's efficiency better or last longer, sit on the shelf longer, you know, make it easier to produce, whatever. And so, again, we've talked about food. Here we're talking about the stuff we eat off of and the damage that it causes to your gut, which is a long list.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it shows that to people, it's more important to have their dishes spotless and shiny than it is to avoid the chemicals that could damage their gut.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody wants their dishes to come out clean. You know, if you produced a dishwasher detergent that didn't give them a spotless shine, even if it didn't have that chemical in it, people probably wouldn't buy it anymore. Because they say, oh, my dishes didn't get clean enough.
Right.
You know, that's kind of what we found when my wife was trying to make a dishwashing detergent that did not have this chemical in it. And
so she knows about this chemical.
Yes. And trying to make it a lot healthier for you, because we've known about these issues for a while.
Right.
But that was the main problem, was that the dishes came out kind of with water spots. It didn't come out, you know, spotless looking.
Oh, the ingredient, by the way, is ethoxylate.
Ethoxylate.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's in dishwasher and rinse aids, you know, that damages the gut. So I couldn't remember the exact word, but yeah. So ethoxylate is something that you're going to find in a lot of these dishwashing detergents that are really bad for the gut.
Yeah. So you can make it without it. You're not going to have quite as clean of dishes. So
now, supposedly there is a product at Costco currently that doesn't have this ethoxylate in it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah. So I'll try and find that here at some point during our podcast. If I find it, I'll bring it up. But it's something, I think it has blue in the name, but supposedly Costco's carrying this, and it's a pretty clean detergent. And anyway, so we can cover that. But did you want to know some of the... signs of a damaged gut?
I would love to know.
Okay, so when our gut gets damaged by ethoxylate, it can cause something referred to as leaky gut, and there's a bunch of symptoms that come from that. And what that means is that the tight junctions in the stomach lining which are your intestinal cells become compromised and they start break apart. Okay. And so you can get undigested food particles, toxins, and bacteria into the bloodstream.
Wow.
Yeah, so that is kind of scary. Getting toxins into your bloodstream, that's a emergency room visit if it gets bad. But some of the symptoms that can come about, bloating, gas, diarrhea, those would be some of your more low level sensitivities. But then it can cause like some food intolerances which a lot of people will claim they have, food intolerances. Well, if it's this and it's your detergent, making that connection, that's a tough connection to make.
Yeah, or you mentioned in there bloating.
Yeah.
You know, like there are so many things bloating can come from. This is an option, but there are so many other options as well, and it's just hard to pinpoint it.
Yeah.
And now people understand why they say, oh, I've got this issue or that issue. There's really nobody out there who can easily tell you what the cause is. You kind of have to do a trial and error. You have to do your research, find all the different things, and start cutting things out. You know, I don't know. I can't tell you specifically if I've had any of these issues due to this chemical, but I don't want to test it and find out. You know what I mean? I want to just avoid the chemical altogether and just know that I'm safe.
So how did Amber know about this?
It's something we had talked about, you know, as we kind of began to form our life together. You know, we talked about
was
some of the things.
Was this pre-marriage or after marriage?
She didn't start making it till after marriage.
Okay.
But, you know, we knew we wanted to move our life in a more holistic direction. We were both kind of on our own independent journeys of finding this type of stuff out.
Right.
And then when we met, you know, and so it kind of, we naturally grew towards it together. And this was just one of the things that we had talked about wanting to do. I can't tell you exactly how I found out.
People don't even think about their dishwashing detergents. Not even
a
thought.
No, you don't. Well, you don't see it. Right,
yeah.
Because you put the soap in, it washes, and then the dish is clean, right? You don't think there's any residue on there because it's like, man, this is spotless.
Yeah, it's spotless.
Like, it's clean, but it's not. There's some residue on there from the soap.
That's crazy. And kudos to you guys for figuring that out. You know, some of the other things, you know, I think about the one bloating. A lot of people said, you know, well, I take this, I bloat. And sometimes I'm wondering if they're like not connecting the dots right because you have this situation and they think they're bloating from something else all the time and it's their detergent. So
it could be.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's impossible to really know for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So nutritional deficiencies. So you're can lead to you not absorbing your vitamin and minerals correctly, meaning they won't absorb.
Which we know a lot of people have nutrient deficiencies. Most people actually have nutrient deficiencies.
Yeah.
And I think I've always taken the perspective of it's from our food supply being less nutritionally dense. But this could also be part of it too. Even if you're getting the right nutrition, your gut can't break it down and utilize it the same way.
Well, I mean, you think about just the magnitude of all the challenges that are in front of us to eat healthy, and then you have this.
It's never ending.
Yeah, I know.
It's a process, right? And that's why if you approach getting healthy and cutting out all of the bad stuff as one big thing you have to do, you're never going to do it because it's like climbing Mount Everest.
Right.
But if you can approach it in little small steps, okay, I'm going to first focus on doing this, and I'm going to focus on doing this, and then you tackle them in steps. You know, it may take a while, but next thing you know, you'll look back and think, man, I've done a lot of it. And that's kind of how you have to approach it.
Right.
Because a lot of people, I think, they hear all this stuff, and they think, it's just too much. I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to deal with it because it's too much to figure out.
Right. So here's another one, fatigue. Low levels due to lack of nutrient absorption. Skin problems such as eczema, acne, or rashes may occur due to inflammation linked to gut issues. okay. Here's a big one. Autoimmune conditions. Increased systematic inflammation can trigger an or exacerbate autoimmune diseases.
You know what this kind of reads like? A drug commercial when they list all the side effects, you know?
I know, 100%.
You'd think they would have to list that on these dishwasher detergent commercials or on the packages and stuff. They ought to have to list all the side effects that you can get from using the detergent. Might make some people think twice.
You know, it just reinforces that going to a commercial or a grocery store, it's like, is anything good there?
Well, that's part of the problem. In my opinion, everything in the grocery store, for the most part, is got there for a reason different than your health. It got there for a reason of, you know, it's the easiest to ship there, the cheapest for the grocery store to get, you know, the most shelf stable. I mean, all these different factors that your health was not really thought about. Even going back to, I think it's a documentary, and I haven't seen it, but I've listened to a podcast of somebody talking about it, and it was about Whole Foods, and it was talking about their system of, I believe it's like a rating system. They would give food a system rating like 1 to 5 or something like that. 5 being the best, 1 being the worst. Mm-hmm. And they tried to sell as many of the 5s as they could. And 5 being, you know, it passed all their checkpoints for being a quality product. And how they started out pretty good on that. But then as time went on, they started cutting corners. They started, you know, kind of false advertising, almost lying about the quality of their product they had in there. And that's always what ends up happening when you go big commercial food production. Is it always is get it cheaper, get it easier, get it more shelf stable, longer shelf life, easier shipping. All these things become important, and the health of the product and the quality of the product takes a back seat.
Right.
And even on a place like Whole Foods, right, that has taken place. A place that brands itself as, hey, we're not, you know, big box store groceries. We are quality. But then they fall into the same traps. And they end up just a marketing scheme that markets that they're healthier, but really aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you probably have a little bit more luck. I mean, yes, 100%. There's still a lot of the traps, I would say. You know, when you cut corners, that's where you and what always associate cut corners is, I am making more money. 100%. Anytime you're cutting corners, that always means I'm making more money.
Or it's also keeping the product cheaper for the consumer too. Yeah. Right? Because what you have to think about it for these stores is quality is expensive. And so they have to ask themselves, you know, are people willing to pay this super high price? Or if we cut a couple corners and we can knock a buck or two off of it, and then people will keep buying it, you know? And so that's what a lot of it boils down to.
So maybe it has a lot more to do with, because, you know, you go out to the local farmer, it's not that expensive.
There's no middleman.
Yeah, there's no middleman. What's expensive is getting that quality to a store.
Yes.
That's what's expensive, right? And that's what, you know, people have centralized their, you know, nutritional health, or I should just say their eating habits around a store, right?
Yeah.
That's their central go-to to get all their food is now this grocery store versus what it used to be, you know, 100 years ago where you had to work with a farmer or you were a farmer. And so now we can go out and get, you know, to a farmer's market and let's say get a gallon of milk anywhere from $6 to $10 a gallon, which I will gladly pay for. Or you can go and get not even close to that quality. Not even, I would say, half the quality a gallon of milk for probably that much or more. So,
yeah,
you know, that's what we're faced with. Well, is that...
people like the convenience of, hey, I can just go in Whole Foods and it's all right here. You have to search, you know, if you're trying to find local sources, you got to search that out and find that, go to the farmer's market, go here, go there, you know. Like the way we have a different place we go for our eggs, a different place for our milk, you know, and sometimes if this place is out, we got to go to this place, and we end up going to a bunch of different places, just a different place for our honey, you know, all these different places, and it'd be easier just get it all in one place, right?
So the conclusion is laziness hurts our health.
Oh, 100%.
In all phases of life, just not in your mental state, but also in your health state.
Agreed.
So,
and you know, that's kind of like washing dishes, right? It's just done for you. It comes out spotless. You don't even think about it. You just load the dishwasher, you know, and there's this push for being able, you ever see the commercials? It's like, oh, you know, the dish is super dirty and filthy with food, and then it like gets dishwashed and it's sparkling clean, you know?
Right,
there's
right.
this push for being able to take dishes that are, you know, super dirty and filthy and caked on, and then the dishwasher can just magically make it clean. Well, the way that they do that, which is more chemicals.
Yeah.
And so the consumer is out there saying, hey, we want to be able to throw our dirty, super dirty dishes in the dishwasher and make them come out spotless. And so they're saying, okay, well, we're going to have to add all these chemicals to it in order to do that. And then the consumer's happy. But what you don't realize is all those chemicals are destroying your health.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, a little elbow grease to get the dish mostly clean before you even put it in there. You don't need as harsh of chemicals to get it clean.
Yeah. I'll have to, like I said, I'll have to... If I don't find it before the end of the show, I will try to bring it next week, because it's supposedly going to be sold at Costco. I'm going to tell my wife to start buying it.
Well, I want to see the label, because, you know, just because they don't have that chemical doesn't mean they don't have other bad chemicals.
That's true.
And I'm not, you know, making judgments before I see it, but I would love to see that label.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Any more comments on the dishwasher detergent, Matt?
Let's see. Well, just three... four other components here. Joint pain and inflammation, food cravings. I found that interesting. Imbalances in gut bacteria may lead to increased cravings for sugar and processed foods. And then headaches and migraines. Some individuals experience headaches related to digestive issues or food sensitivities. So, you know, I'm someone who struggles with migraines. So... I might need to switch my detergent sooner than I think. Maybe that's another element I can remove from the equation. We'll see.
That'd be fascinating.
Yeah. I'll keep you up to date on that. Increased infections and illness. Well, here, yeah. Okay. So, seems like in my family, we have a decent amount of illness. I don't get ill. They do. They all get sick. And I'm getting to where I feel like I have a superpower. You know, they get sick and they're all worried. Oh, now I'm going to be sick. And I'm just sitting there going, I know I won't get sick. And I don't. So, you know, I don't know. So these are all things that just using dishwasher detergents that have this ingredient in it can exothioate, or I can't remember how to pronounce it now, but yeah.
Spell it so people can look on their labels.
Yeah, it's ethoxylates. And it's something that you do not want in your detergent.
Yep, agreed. Okay, so main topic of the day we're going to move on to now. We want to talk a little bit. So New Year's is coming up.
Yeah.
This is, 3 days left in 2024. And then we're heading into 2025.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of things over the past year that each of us has sort of changed about our philosophy, changed in our life. And there are also some things that we are planning on changing come 2025.
Yeah.
So as we know, we're not, I mean, I personally am not a big New Year's resolution guy. I kind of assume you aren't either.
No.
But with that said, I think it's important to kind of reflect on what we have been changing, what we are trying to change in our lives, how our perspectives are changing, new information we've gathered, and how we're changing how we do things when it comes to our health and fitness. So we're going to kind of go back and forth, bringing up some things that we've either changed or are going to change in our life.
Sounds good.
And Matt, I'm going to let you lead it off here. What do you want to talk about first?
Well, on the whole idea that I'm not a big New Year's resolution guy, something to consider. So right before you go into the New Year's, and New Year's being one of those holidays, what is the, there's something that affects business dramatically, and that is holidays, right? Not only does it affect business, it affects your, you personally, because it is a time that we pull away from all the things that we do. And so what happens, and I've already heard it from all my clients, I'll get back on track. The holidays have been really tough. You know, January, I'll get back on track, right? So it has a natural consequence. Hey, begin the new year, because you just went through three holidays that are within just, a, you know, 6 weeks of each other. And this is like three big holidays in 6 weeks. So the natural consequence is that your routine has been disrupted. So there, that's where you get a lot of the news resolutions. Like, okay, I got to get back on track, because they ate poorly, they slept poorly, they stayed out too much, they drank too much alcohol, they had a good time. I got to get back on track, okay? And so not only will that affect the people that were working out beforehand, but you'll have the people that were just doing a routine, and then they go into that, and they're thinking, man, I'm really need to fix myself after these holidays. And so they start the new resolution. That's why January has a kind of a big boom of people joining the gym. So because of that, and that I don't really believe in that, some of these things that we're talking about, I started either a few weeks ago or recently. So, but are to be reinforced. Now, I'm just as much affected by the three holidays, because I feel like I have not been as dedicated as I usually am to our podcast. So that's something that in January, that's number one on my list, is hit the podcast, hit the guest list, hit the shorts hard again, you know, so we can get that great information that we're sharing out to more people.
Well, that's a great one to start with.
Yeah.
Our podcast. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, we want to keep bringing you guys this great information.
Yes.
And, you know, getting it to you in mediums that you enjoy it. And sometimes I think the short clips
they do,
or you know, work well for that. Not everyone has time to sit and listen to us talk forever.
No, and a lot of people, I just haven't had the time to do as many shorts as, and I apologize for that to the listeners, but I haven't had time to do as many shorts as of recent, and so I'm hoping, you know, that I'm going to have a lot more time to get that done, and it'll have also a lot more impact. And it does. It does have impact. Every time I did the shorts, it kind of bumped the traffic a little bit.
Yeah. Well, one thing I thought about for as far as my training goes, because my training's been...
Oh, I'm excited to hear this.
...in sort of a state of... it's been kind of in flux. It's just kind of been bumping along, not really progressing in any direction. And so where do I want to take it? And I think I want to take it, I want to do a little more. I've seen people in here in the gym. Jeff brought in a boxing bag.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, some people have been hitting that, practicing their boxing. And
during our podcast.
Sometimes. And I want to start working on that a little bit. You know, I wrestled back in high school, and so I had a little bit of training on wrestling. Never anything with striking, you know, and it's a great cardio to do boxing training. I think it's great stuff to learn in terms of self-defense, survival type of training, and I want to test myself with that a little bit. It's also something that down the road I know that, you know, I could get a bag for my house or something and be able to train it at home. So that's something I want to dive into early in the year and start doing my training, in addition to resistance training, doing some kind of boxing, maybe more for cardio.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like a lot of other forms of cardio, so that's what I would like to dive into that I've never dove into before.
You know, outside of, you know, the only thing I would say is that I was going to say that would be something maybe you could introduce into the HIIT circuit, but I don't know if everyone punches correctly.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not something I've tried to introduce yet. Probably not.
Yeah, only because they probably someone would rather hurt their hand.
Could. Yeah, you kind of want to have gloves.
If you don't hold your hands right, you can injure your hand hitting that thing.
Yeah.
You know, punching is a technique.
Oh, 100%.
So.
Yeah.
You know, that's, but yeah, so, all right, so that's going to be something you add to your cardio.
Yes.
Okay.
Just routine in general.
Okay, and then what else?
That's pretty much all that I thought about.
Okay.
I would like to maybe just for Matt, I'll work on my bench press again.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting to hear.
But that's not something that is high on my priority list by any means.
Well, just, I don't think you're going to go through a weight gain in January.
Probably not.
No.
We'll probably talk about that in next one.
Well, we're teasing that one, but all right. So you're changing your workout. I would say, for me, I am going to be. I've been working on the same thing for quite a while. I will say the one thing that's really helped me for my fitness journey is we added a grill in the back, so now I'm meal prepping here. And that's when I started adding weight, because now that allowed me to have that one extra meal a day, and that one extra meal has taken me from like 208 to 217. So I've put on like 8 or 9 pounds in the last probably 5 or 6 weeks. And so surprising how important that time is to be eating, that I was missing that component because I was here at the gym, and meal prepping at home just wasn't working. So, you know, I would have some free time here at the gym and I'd cook up a whole bunch of steaks or a whole bunch of chicken breasts, have them for the whole week. That one extra meal has made the difference.
Good.
So that's one thing I've added. So, you know, now when I'm in the gym, I'm lifting with more strength.
Yeah, and you're able to eat it a little fresher too. Like if you cook 100%. It, and pull it off and eat it.
Fantastic.
It works a lot better, makes you more motivated to eat for sure. Yeah. And there's no way to, as carnivores and mostly carnivores, people that eat a lot of meat, there's no way to prep a lot of meat in a place without a grill, really, or a stovetop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have pretty well a full kitchen. You can't just use microwave and basic stuff to, you know, cook and prepare meat. So, it works out a lot better having something like a grill.
Yeah, well, Jeff was so kind and he brought in his prep table back there.
Mm.
So that makes it easier to prepare the meat, you know, versus in the kitchen, which we don't. So I had to go out and buy some, you know, some cleaning supply. Because, you know, because you're cleaning up a plate that just had steak on it, you know, you have to have some cleaning supplies to get it off of there. So I went and bought some of that and then bought the utensils and the plates and the storage components so I can just keep it all here, you know, and it's worked out.
That's a good change.
Yeah, so that's been my change, you know, as far as how I'm, my routines and stuff. I did find a lifting partner for my chest days. So we lift at 6:30 a.m. on Mondays and Fridays, and that's going to, because I'd say he's a little bit stronger than me right now, and so that's going to push me, and I need that. So
that will.
Yeah, so I'm excited to have that, because I think that's been a component I've been missing, is that, okay, I've been, because really all the years that I hit some of those PRs and I prepared for that meet, that's just all me. You know, it's like, man, if I can have somebody that's there with me on bench day, that's big.
Yeah.
So, you know, push me that extra rep. So I'm looking forward to that. So that's my two changes to my fitness journey.
Good. Something that I've got, not a permanent change, but any of you guys who have been longtime listeners of our podcast, going back to last January, would know about that I followed the carnivore diet in January, the whole month.
Yep.
That's something I plan on doing again.
Yeah.
So, like I said, not a permanent change, but at least for a month, following the carnivore diet. That's coming up here in about 3 days. I've got to plan out my final meals before I go full carnivore.
So you need to, like, give us your goals, and then did you accomplish those goals at the end?
Goals of doing the carnivore diet?
Yeah, like what are your goals to do, and why are you doing it?
Well, here's what I'll say. I've done a lot of digging into the carnivore diet.
Mm-hmm.
I like a lot of what I hear from people who follow the carnivore diet. The research I've done into the effectiveness of the carnivore diet has been very positive. Of some of the people who follow the carnivore diet, they have coined January as carnivore month.
Right.
And for people who aren't willing to do the diet long term, it is a month to do the diet and follow it for the whole month. So last year, I decided I would do carnivore month in January. It's a great cleanse after the holidays, after eating some of the foods I don't typically eat in December. It's a good cleanse because there's no junk in the carnivore diet. It's meat, it's eggs, it's dairy products,
mm-hmm.
and clean dairy products.
Yeah.
You know, plain, no additives type of dairy right. products, no sugars. You know, so it's a month of no sugar. And I'm not in the place to want to follow the diet long term for like 6 months or a year or anything. So
basically, we're talking a macro breakdown of fats and proteins.
Yeah, there's no carbohydrates. The only carbohydrates that I will get in January will be from the dairy. There are some carbs in dairy right. products. And
we're talking 5 or 10%.
Not even, probably.
Yeah,
I can't remember exactly what the average macro breakdown was last year when I did it, but it's around there. It's low.
Yogurt has a little bit of carbs, right?
Yeah, any dairy will have a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's not a lot. I can't remember
it's
how
like
much.
It's like 1 or 2% maybe?
It's small.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So high, be really high fat in terms of macro breakdown, but also really high protein too in all the meat.
Yeah.
And then, you know, on top of the health benefits, you know, last year, I remember I got quite a bit leaner. I lost a little bit of weight and mm-hmm. got leaner. I'm going to do an eVolt scan probably on Tuesday and then do one again at the end of the month to see what the difference is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hope to get a little bit leaner, kind of set the groundwork for going into the springtime, which is typically a building phase for me. I typically try to add some muscle mass during the springtime.
So the goal is for the health benefits.
Yes, that's the main goal.
Okay.
And the discipline. And just to support the cause.
Yeah.
Right, support the carnivore diet.
All right, so that's three goals. The health benefits for the discipline. And to support the cause.
Yeah, and I guess when I say support the cause, I also mean from sort of a credibility standpoint, because I don't recommend a 100% full carnivore to hardly any of my clients, but I recommend a very directionally based carnivore diet.
Right.
And so I never like to, it's kind of like every exercise that I have people do in the gym, I've done myself. And I understand it. I know how it affects the muscles and things like that. Diets, I give people things I want them to eat are always things I've ate myself. And so I know and I experience that and know what it's like. And so if I'm going to prescribe carnivore-type diets to any of my trainees, I want to have a good amount of experience with it myself.
So if you remove the dairy, then it's the lion's diet?
No, the lion's diet is beef only.
Oh, beef only. No chicken.
Sorry, red meat only.
Okay.
So you can have beef, you can have, you know, bison, elk, you know.
Deer, you know. Okay.
Yeah, deer, but no white meats.
Okay.
Birds or anything like
that. Why is that?
That's just the lion's diet.
I mean, it makes sense because if you think about the lion, they probably would eat a chicken, but they typically eat red meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'd be even more strict way to go only red meat.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you going to have a lion's diet month?
I could just do lion diet instead of carnivore diet, but I don't think so. I think I want to just do carnivore diet.
It'd be tough to remove dairy.
It would be tough. The thing about the carnivore diet is you could do eggs for one meal. You can do, you know, meat for one meal. You can switch up your meats. You can do, you know, dairy. You can even have a bowl of yogurt, you know, to kind of mix things up. The problem with the lion diet is you're basically eating the same exact thing every meal.
Yeah.
And you can't deviate.
Well, and it's, you, if you're going to do the lion's diet for a month, you probably want to have just bought a whole cow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Definitely.
Or a cow and some deer.
Yeah, you're going to go through it.
Yeah, it's going to, you're going to be like just, you know, probably cube steaks in the morning, probably steak in, for lunch and dinner, or, you know, or hamburger. I mean, you're just smoking through that meat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Go through it very quickly.
Yeah. So, well, that's interesting. So then at the end of that, you're going to have to, I'm going to come up with, I tell you what, when we get done with the, you get done with this, I'm going to come up with a list of questions for the show that I'm going to ask you.
Okay. Okay. We'll do it.
And I'll try. In fact, I might even give you these questions before you finish so that you can be thinking about them.
Okay.
So.
I think that sounds great.
All right. So.
What's next on your end?
My end. Just a second. I got to write this down here. Because I will forget. Questions for Parker. All right. So on my end, which one of these do I want to pick? So I've noticed that, you know, going along with the holidays, one of the things that has been a challenge for me is that the gym, although I've been here for 8 months now, everything's, we've had a lot of work we've had to do here, you know, a lot of efforts put into the gym. And at least for my part and my involvement in the gym and for several aspects, we got programs we're trying to get off the ground. We have memberships we're trying to grow. We, and this, your investment in your own clients, right? I've had to work hard to get clients for myself. Some of that has started to kind of get the my days have started to get into a routine now, right? Meaning, like, I have a certain number of clients. I kind of know my days. I know what my week's going to look like week in and week out. So now that has allowed me to kind of, for January, going into that, kind of prepare to know when I can do what. Like, what days can I focus on the gym? What days can I focus on the podcast? What days can I focus on, you know, at what times of the days? You know, so this is, it sounds like, well, that should be already figured out. But, you know, just the holidays itself and just the kind of the chaotic nature of trying to push these programs has made that kind of jumbled. So January and February, things are going to kind of settle down for me. It's going to allow me to be more on schedule and focus on the things that need to get done around here for the podcast. So, and for my clients in general. So I'm looking toward, I guess what I'm saying is I'm looking for a little bit more routine. And I think I've mentioned to you in the past, I'm a person of routine. I'm not, I could never be a nurse. Couldn't do it. I have to have routine. And so that's been a little hard for me since I've been at the gym, is that my routine hasn't been real consistent. Because, I mean, yes and no, but I've noticed my hours and my clients have grown and shifted. And not that there always won't be a little shift here and there, but I've kind of found my rhythm in the last, I'd say, few weeks. And I find that's real important for me, is to have a rhythm to my week so I know what's going to get done when. And now I have that. So I guess, so that final conclusion, I'm going to finally have the rhythm in 2025.
That'll be good. You know, a lot of changes, a lot of new things this year. It does take a while to settle into that, but
it does. It does for me.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that'll be really good.
Yeah. So, because, you know, one of the things that I and we've started to do that, is that I want to grow all our trainers' client base, right? Everyone get a full docket of clients. And that's something I'm working on right now, is programming to help, you know, that become a reality. So that having that routine knows when I can work on those things, if that makes sense.
Yep, absolutely. I think that's a great goal for you to work towards. So, ready for me to go?
Yep.
This is switching gears a little bit, but something that I have been thinking a lot about this fall into winter, and something that I have decided to make a priority for 2025, is the topic of parasites.
Mm.
Do you know much about parasites?
I do. I've actually been doing a decent amount of study on that. And, you know, one of the things that are just, you know, like, there are certain parasites that, how do I want to say this? There's parasites on everything, right? There is. There's, like, petting your cat, you got parasites on you, you know? So there's some that your body takes care of. So now it's kind of the determination, what is things you need to worry about and what things you don't need to worry about, the body will take care of.
Well, I'm switching my focus a little bit differently. I recognize that there are parasites all around us and in everything. I'm not sure they're completely avoidable.
Correct.
That's, and so, you know, but part of it goes down to what do my parasites look like? You know, do I have parasites? What have I got them from? I don't know. Where are they at? What are they doing? So I've been looking into how can I, you know, try to reduce my parasite load, because a lot of health issues also tie back to parasites that we can get from all sorts of things. Even foods, you know, some of our foods contain parasites. And so what I have done is I have put together a regimen that I'm going to start. I'm not exactly sure when, and then I'm going to turn it into a maintenance type of regimen to cleanse myself of parasites. And this involves some different oils and medications and things that I have put together from reading, sort of just to do a parasite cleanse, see what happens, see how I feel, see what kind of parasites are cleansed, and then just try to stick with it, really moving forward for good, to continue to cleanse myself as new parasites come in.
So what would be these oils?
So I have wormwood, is a good one. I think it's black seed oil.
Okay.
Oil of oregano.
I've heard of oil of oregano.
Yeah. I think those are the three big, like, oils. Pumpkin seeds.
I've heard that too.
Are supposed to be really good. And ivermectin. And
I'm tended to load up on ivermectin.
Yeah.
Because even if you just have a basic cold or you feel bad at all, people are starting to take ivermectin just for that.
Yeah, and it's an antiparasitical. Yeah. And fenbendazole is the other one. And that's a dewormer.
Yeah.
As well.
I should call it a deparasite.
Yeah, antiparasitical. Yeah. All of those things that I plan to use to help myself with parasites.
Yeah. I think everyone's got some parasites. It's just what level. Oh,
and that's from everything I've been reading, is people say, yeah, I mean, it's amazing to see, because it comes out in your fecal matter, you know, once you cleanse these parasites, and it's kind of shocking. So I'm excited to see what happens, and worst case scenario, if I don't have very much parasites, then there's not much to cleanse out of there.
But yeah. Well, we'll have to stay up on your fecal matter. No, I'm kidding.
But I'm trying to decide when would be the best time to begin this regimen, because I want to do it at a time also when I'm pretty locked in otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, like, I knew the holiday season wouldn't be a good time to do it, just because not the best diet anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, it'd be interesting because, you know, they like, I've seen studies where they'll take like a candy bar and they'll open the candy bar and they'll, or a McDonald's French fry, and they look at it under their microscope and you can see the parasites in there.
Exactly. It's all over the place.
Unbelievable.
Well, it's kind of like with your animals. You know, they recommend you using dewormers on your animals, like across the board, to help get the parasites out. And you think about it with humans, and they don't recommend that. But why would we not end up with parasites just like animals do?
Right.
You know, what makes a dog get a bunch of parasites? Why wouldn't we? And the reality is that we do. It's just they don't want us to cleanse ourselves of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of these medications and things are like recommended for animals.
Right.
They're like, oh, you're not supposed to use it for humans, but humans have been using them for a long time with
no issues. Well, ivermectin was created for humans.
Exactly. But yeah. then they start saying that you can't use it on humans, but you can. And people see all sorts of health benefits from it, including, you know, cancers, including remissions in cancers and things from antiparasitical drugs. So it makes you really wonder what the true manifestation of parasites in the body is. What do they cause? What kind of ailments and things?
Right.
And it may be more than what we know.
Well, that's, you know, and every time I think of parasites, I kind of get the heebie-jeebies because they're disgusting. But then, you know, it's like I've noticed that it's funny you brought that up because I just noticed my own personal interest has gone up in it the last couple months. Where I've just been researching a little bit more. And I haven't got as far along as you have. It's been more of kind of like gathering information on it. And I was kind of at the stage where it's like, well, there's some things you definitely can do about it, and there's some things you can't escape. But how many human parasites do we actually have? And one of the things I discovered that is that pineapple juice kills parasites almost within 5 to 10 minutes of juice hitting the parasite.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was interesting. Probably from the acidic nature of the juice.
That's similar with like pumpkin seeds, where they say pumpkin seeds will also do that.
Yeah. So they like, and they did a test where they have human parasites on a microscope, and they drop a pineapple juice onto the microscope. What is that little tray thing called? That little piece of glass and the slide, and they put it on the slide, and that it, within like 5 or 10 minutes, all the human parasites have died because of the acidic nature of the pineapple juice.
Well, that's very interesting. I have to look into some pineapple juice too.
Do you remember when I was eating pineapple? I was eating pineapples like 3 times a day.
When?
Oh gosh, 2 years ago when I was at the gym or at 100. I was literally having that like 3 times a day. I mean, I was eating pineapples like crazy. And I thought the reason I couldn't handle anything hot anymore was because of COVID. I thought because I had COVID, because I couldn't eat anything hot. And I realized that wasn't the case. And it's because I was eating so many pineapples is that my tongue was raw. Mm. I mean, even a mild Taco Bell sauce was like burning my tongue. And so then when I stopped, I stopped eating so much, and then my taste buds weren't raw anymore, and I could eat hot stuff again.
You probably have a low parasite load then.
Yeah, well, maybe.
From all that.
Yeah, so, yeah. So that's going to be fascinating. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say for me, I'm probably going into 2025. This is more of a family goal. I've already had told the kids that we're all having to sit down, and this is kind of like talking about everything from where our faith is to where our accountabilities are and our practice, our ethical practices, something that's kind of gone a wayside a little bit, you know, in the family. And so we're going to do a refocus. I've already had a discussion with the family. It's like, we're going to get through these holidays, and we're going to refocus, because I've kind of noticed a little laziness here and there, not being real supportive of each of the family members. So that's been more of a, you know, protecting the sanctity of the home and how it's supposed to function discussion. So, you know, it's not a discussion I wanted to have in December because celebration time, you know, Christmas and New Year's, and want to get through those. And then, but we had a, actually had a talk last night, said January, we're all going to sit down and refocus on the things we should be doing. So we can, everyone can, you know, get on the right track.
Yeah.
So that's something we're going to be doing. That's not really me, but, you know, as the head of the household, that's something I have to take care of.
Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah. So that's, that was one thing. But when you brought this idea up of talking about things you need to do, that's one of the first, you know, I'm like, I got to, that's something I, that has to be done for the family's sake.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're steering a ship and maybe you're drifting a little bit off from the way, and it's just got to kind of steer it back in the right direction a little bit, you know. Nothing major. The ship is going in the right mostly the right direction. It's just little changes.
It's like priorities start to go this way or that way, right?
Yeah.
And it's like you start seeing the kids and, you know, or the family in general start making choices that would put a priority of self in front of family. And that needs to understand, if you're living in my house, decisions you make affect everybody. So make sure you make decisions that are, you know, not just about you.
Interesting.
So, all right.
Well, one of the big things, this is something I've been working towards for a while, but continuing to work towards in a large way, is producing more of our own food ourselves. And the ways that we plan to do that, through gardening and preservation. Mm-hmm. So not just gardening, but being able to take that product and preserve it to use it year-round. Another big one would be eggs, producing our own eggs, not being reliant on buying those from other local people.
Mm.
Just obviously we're not gonna get to like 100%. That's not possible.
Yeah.
But what we want to do is get much closer than where we are. We did really well 2 years ago. And then this year, with my son being born in May, like right in peak, starting your garden season, didn't get much garden in and didn't get near as much food put away this summer. And we're already seeing the effects of that, in that we have a limited selection of our own homegrown food to eat throughout the winter. So that just comes down to just doing it, you know, in the springtime, getting all the seeds, you know, getting a garden planted, tending, you know, taking the time to tend to the garden, and then preserving it when there's harvest.
Right, right.
And all the different things that we want to grow, knowing kind of as a family what our favorite things are to eat and what we need to grow and how much of it, in order to make sure we have enough to get us to the next season.
So if I ever have to grow my own garden, I'm in trouble.
Why is that?
Because I'm not good at it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, but probably if it's lack of knowledge, or I'm just, you know, so busy, that might become more of a possibility when I get all the kids out of the house. But yeah, I found that I'm not a very good green thumb. I don't know if it's my personality or if I'm just, well, I am forgetful, but because that's something you have to tend to. You can't ignore it.
No.
Yeah. So we put a garden in our backyard about 5 years ago, and it was doing well, and it got full of bugs, you know, and destroyed most of it. And so,
what kind of bugs?
I don't know. They were nasty.
What were you growing?
Pumpkin.
Squash bugs.
Squash bugs.
Must have been what it was.
Might have been. We had...
Those get the pumpkins bad.
Oh, man. It was like 8 holes in it, and they were inside. It was gross. We had tomatoes. I think we had peppers. I'm trying to remember all the things we had. I think we had five or six different things. Those are the ones I remember. And but yeah, man, it's just, we were able to save some of it, but I remember going out there one day and all these bugs were everywhere, and I'm like, okay, so we pulled as much as we could, but it destroyed over half of it. And I'm like, okay, you know, this is, I don't have time to manage it like it needs to be managed. So I was just like, I'll go just buy it from the farmer's market, which is what I do.
Which is another good option. And that's kind of what we had to do this year. We bought a lot of things from local farmers that mm-hmm. produce have gardens, large gardens. But, you know, ideally we want to produce it ourselves
yeah.
as much as we can.
Now, is your wife the green thumb or are you the green thumb? Or you both have a good idea how to garden?
I would say I'm more the green thumb when it comes to the gardening, and she's more of she knows how to preserve and can everything and freeze it, whatever, you know, needs to be done on that side of things. Because I've always gardened.
Yeah, because you got the understanding
little.
Of soil and
yeah,
and the bugs you always have to fight, and yeah, so that makes total sense.
Yeah,
and how to keep the weeds out. And,
well, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that was my thing, is I had the weeds out, and then they started coming in, you know, and it feels like I just took a nap for a couple weeks, and then the weeds were like, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, this is constant work. I'm like, okay, I can't do this right now.
Yeah. Oh, it is a lot of work.
Yeah.
But it's an important thing to us, and so it's something that we're going to be
yeah, because we, at be some doing. Point it may become a necessity.
It may, but even if it's not a necessity, you know, the mm-hmm. only way that I can be absolutely positive about the quality of my food is mm-hmm. if I produce it myself.
Right.
The only way I can be almost positive is if I have a direct relationship with the person that I know that's producing it.
Right.
And so building those relationships has been important, because those are people that we can go to, and we know the quality of it secondhand. But really the only true way is to be firsthand doing it yourself.
Right.
And it's something that I want to be able to pass on to my children
mm-hmm.
and teach them and things. And so it's got multiple purposes.
Right.
I guess I would say.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And you teach them a skill.
Yeah.
You know, as they're growing up, and if you have garden. 100%.
And same with when it comes to livestock, you know, as well. This year, the goal was the chickens, because we can get eggs. And we don't really have the space to get too much larger livestock. But down the road, the goal will be to expand into a lot more larger livestock as well.
Well, you hit upon one. We were going to do it in 2024, and it didn't happen. But we wanted to have our own chickens, have our own eggs.
Boy, you would need a lot of chickens to fund your egg eating.
Yes, I know. And I don't know if I can, I can't remember how many we can have, but yeah, but it would definitely mitigate some of my costs.
I would just have more than what they allow you to have. How are they going to know?
Yeah. Well, the neighbors behind us beat us to us. Our neighbors on the other side of our fence installed a chicken coop.
Okay.
So, you know, but the best time to buy chicks is usually around now, isn't it?
Well, it kind of depends, because what you have to think about with chicks is that they can't survive the cold temperatures till they feather out. And so it takes a few weeks of their life before they're able to survive in the colder temperatures. So you have to have somewhere to keep them
mm-hmm.
Inside and temperature controlled for a while this time of year, because you'd probably have them inside for, the next 3 months.
Which that would get kind of stinky. But if I want them to lay eggs by the summer, I'd have to get them now.
You'd have to get them, pretty much.
That would be the plan. Otherwise, if I get them in the summer, I ain't going to have eggs until next year.
No, you're looking at a good, I think it's like 5 months that it takes for a hen to start laying eggs.
Yeah.
And even then, you know, they don't, it takes a while then once they do start for their production to ramp up to where you're getting, you know, an egg a day.
So it might be that I just have to bite the bullet and know that I won't have eggs until 2026, because I don't want them in the house. Not for very long, that is. I mean, I know maybe the first week or so, but I already have my issues with the dog you know, getting me up at 3 a.m. wanting to go outside. You know, if I have chicks going squeak, 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 you know.
Well, do you have a garage?
I do, but my 8-year-old car's in there.
Oh, yeah. Because you could do it in the garage, too.
Yeah.
It's probably warm enough that if you kept a heat lamp on them, you know, they'd be fine.
Yeah. Well, we'll think about it. It's something we me and Beth have talked about. We've even looked up. I talked to our old friend, Trevor.
Oh, yeah.
He has his own.
He's got some.
And he gave me a lot of advice. And so I have the chicken coop picked. You know, he said you just go down to the... can't remember the name of the store that sells these chicks anyway, yeah, so at some point we're gonna do it just because
that'll be exciting.
Eggs are the superfood, and again, you know what you're getting.
How many eggs do you eat?
Well, that's dropped.
It's dropped. I thought you're ramping up.
I did ramp up, but I added a little bit more carbs to my diet. So when I added the carbs to my diet, and I added a little more meat too, I have the eggs. I still eat a lot of eggs, but that probably cut my egg consumption in half. So I'm probably hitting 2 to 3 dozen a week.
That's not bad, because typically once you get chickens up to where they're laying in their peak production, they'll lay an egg a day.
Yeah.
So if you had like 5 to 6 chickens, mm-hmm, to get you enough eggs.
Yeah, which is about, that'd probably be just about right. So, yeah. And I think that's around the limit too.
Okay.
But yeah, so my egg consumption's gone down a little bit. It might still go back up. I'm just saying that I've been struggling to add a pound for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And so I just played with my macros a little bit. And as much as I hate carbs, I just up my carbs a little bit.
It helps if you're trying to be in weight gain mode for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so I would say the last one on my list is picking my events for next year, my powerlifting meets for next year. That's my goal. I've actually been working on that the last couple of weeks, trying to determine where I want to go, what federations I want to lift in. One of the things I got a call to WRPF because their website's down. I don't know what's going on there. I can't find any WRPF events, not even in the live cast schedule. So I'm like, what's going on here? So maybe the, you know, USAPL, the USA Powerlifting League, I might do that one. There's several events for that. So, in fact, the Strong Barbell Club that I competed at is having a USAPL event in January. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's on my birthday. So I may do that one. I just got to call them because it's not specific that they just have bench only, but I think they do. And then maybe I'll get Angel to enter it. So we'll see.
You could always just enter full power and do a squat and a deadlift too.
Oh, I could.
Doesn't have to be good numbers. No, just put something up.
Yeah, I could. I might do that here pretty soon. I have been working on my legs. And they have gotten stronger. I just want to, I don't know. I would like to be comfortable with some of the weights I'm doing, which are not where I'd like them to be. So,
yeah.
And I guess I've been a little sensitive about my knee hurting again, because every once in a while, I've got on the leg press a few times and knee started to feel a little sore. And it heals up pretty quick. You know, it doesn't hurt me throughout the day, but. So I definitely want to do some full power. So it'll come.
How many events are you thinking for 2025?
I would like to do at least four events. There's one in Nebraska that will count towards national records. So I might want to try that one. see. I'd like to be really prepared for that one. I think it's either that's in February or March, I think. So, but I went through, I wrote down five or six of them, and then I was going to go back. I wanted to make a few phone calls because I was going to compete in the WRPF, but I can't find any. Now, the WRPF is still going in Europe and Russia, and, you know, they still have their leagues in those areas, but I can't find the USA WRPF, so I don't know what's going on there. Maybe it's just down, or but I couldn't find the events either, so I don't know. So I might have to enter a different federation if something's going on with that.
Yeah, there's plenty of federations, so.
Yeah, so that's my last thing that I'm doing.
Last one. Boy, you're making me choose now between quite a few. I think I'll bite this one off. It's something that I talked to my wife about wanting to do at some point this year. Last year, I decided I was going to try the longest fast that I had done ever. And so I completed a week-long fast, 7 days. And I haven't decided exactly how long for this year. I think maybe a 10-day would be a good one to go up to kind of slowly work up. So I think I want to try a 10-day fast this year. I definitely want to do longer than a week.
Yeah.
Since that's what I did this last year.
Have you noticed a trend here? All you, it's everything you're doing is adding so much variety to your fitness, and my fitness is staying exactly the same.
Well, you're already on a path.
I am on a path, and I can't do, like, doing all these different things that you're doing, which is great. I 100% support it and cheer you on, but there's no way I could do any of that right now. It'd totally throw me off, you know? So I found that interesting. It's like my path hasn't changed for over a year, and yours, like, okay, I think I'm going to – I remember one time you said you wanted to try the – what was it? Deadlift your mile time?
Yeah. That's something I still thought about that I would like to do. It just – the wintertime – I don't like running in the wintertime.
Right, no.
You know, I did do that run on Thanksgiving, that 5K – and it was fine, but it was like 19 degrees. I'm like, I don't know. This
See, that's the thing.
My peak time.
Deadlift your, you deadlift your mile time, you're never going to be lifting anything between 560 and 599. Because miles, it's your seconds.
Oh, no. It doesn't quite work exactly like that.
Oh, okay. All right.
So,
well, how does it work?
So 550 deadlift would then be a 5 minute and 30 second mile.
Oh, so you start with your deadlift. You don't run the mile time for your deadlift. You do the deadlift and match the mile time to it.
Well, no, you just, like, half of a minute is 30 seconds. So halfway between 500 and 600 is 550.
Okay, so you
halfway
do the
between.
Okay.
So you convert your seconds to pounds differently. It's not a 1-to-1.
Okay. No, that makes
But
sense.
That would be good. But see, here's the thing. You want me to do my bench press. So then
well, I'm just
I
saying,
do a bench press,
got
I do my
a
deadlift.
Lot of goals here from the garden to the fasting to the carnivore diet. I mean, it is like a lot of fitness goals. And I'm just like, I'm just over here trying to get my bench.
Yeah, you're all in on your bench. And that makes sense. And that's fine.
But you know, that's... It's good that you're doing that because it keeps your fitness entertaining or gives you a quality of trying new things that keeps you engaged in your fitness.
Yeah, I mean, I want to push myself. You know, I guess I just don't have the mental motivation to be so locked in on lifting heavy weights like you are.
Right.
You
well,
haven't
you've done it once.
You haven't gotten to where you want to be. I don't have the motivation to go all in on that because it's not that important to me anymore.
Right.
There's other things that are more important to me.
Right.
You know, with that said, it's still cool. Yeah. It would still be really cool to get back to that strong again or even stronger.
Yeah.
But it's just not as important to me where I'm at in my life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it'll probably be similar. I mean, let's say you did the, what is it, the mile to deadlift time, right? Well, then you've scratched that, and you'll move on to something else.
And that would be a good goal, maybe for mid-year. Having a child affected things. I didn't hit some of the, I mean, I hit a lot of stuff, but I didn't hit a lot of the, some of the stuff that I wanted to do last year. But now it's like, okay, you know, gotten used to living with a child. And so, you know, it's kind like, of, you kind of start fitting things back
in. We're just
in.
We're in different stages, right? Like my kids are almost gone and yours are just beginning.
Yeah.
So it's like that affects your priorities.
Yeah.
Right. So now I haven't been able to focus on myself the way I am now for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, here and there I did, but you know, now I can really lock in and spend more time investing. Cause like if I had kids right now that were in high school, locking in on a heavy bench press would be difficult. 100%. So
yeah,
it's just different times in life.
I would agree, and it's things I know are feasible.
Right.
Doing the carnivore diet is just not eating certain things.
Yeah, it's manageable. That's, you're doing it at home.
That's very manageable.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting up to a really heavy bench, I know, requires gaining a lot of weight, gaining a lot of muscle, and being so locked in on eating, as in eating enough. Eating so many times a day, eating this a lot amount of food. It's a commitment that would be difficult to make.
Yeah, it would be. It is difficult, you know, and that's why I had to build in a situation into life that made it a little more easier, you know, because that's not easy.
I do love deadlifts, though. You know, deadlifts, in my opinion, the king of all exercises. It's like a full body workout by itself, and it's really a testament to your overall strength if you can deadlift a lot of weight. I just, to me, the bench isn't that impressive because it's all, yes, it's a full body, but it's still mainly upper body.
Yeah.
And that's cool, but it's not very practical.
Right.
Being able to pick something really heavy up is pretty practical.
Yeah.
Being able to lie down your back and push something really heavy up off your chest is somewhat practical, but less practical than a deadlift.
Right. The only time that really helps you is like that pressing something that it becomes important that you can press a decent amount of weight. And I don't mean the kind of weight I'm doing. But like when I speak to my senior clients, you know, having a strong tricep to help you get off the ground is important.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
So I find that more important than bicep a lot of time. So, you know, like if you're on the ground, you need to get off the ground. Having a strong tricep to actually push you up is pretty important.
Yeah.
So.
So we'll see. And a lot of it's just challenging myself too in different things. Going back to a challenge I've already completed wouldn't have the same mental effect on me as doing a new challenge that I haven't done before.
Right.
Because I want to challenge myself mentally, do things that I don't know that I can do.
Right.
Let's see if I can do it.
Yeah.
If I've already done it before, getting back to doing it again is just proving myself something I've already done.
Yeah.
So I like doing new things, pushing myself to new limits, and expanding my limitations on my mind. That's been a big focus.
Well, and that's kind of what the bench is for me, is that I have the opportunity to set state records. I mean, you know, at my age and weight.
Well, you already have, haven't you?
Yeah, I set one.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it wasn't that much. So, you know, I can go into three states around me and set a state record in all three. Not Missouri, but I can definitely do it in, you know, the other three states. So, you know, that's something, a challenge, something to pursue. Keeps me, you know, gives me focus.
Yeah.
So one last thing I've thought of.
Okay.
Putting my Audi back together.
Oh, are you sure you're going to get that done in
a year? Yeah, I think I can.
How long has it been apart?
Oh, dude. 8 years.
That's a good goal, though.
Yeah.
That is a good goal.
My wife would be thrilled to have the garage back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would like to get that done. I might, you know, now that I take some time, maybe a couple times a week to start working towards fixing that up.
It would be, that's probably what you're going to need to do is have dedicated time every week.
Yes.
You know, because if not, and that's another thing. I mean, I understand it now that I'm in a place, a wife, family, you know, working a lot of hours. If you put something as, I'll get to it when I have free time, you never get to it.
No.
So you'll have to schedule dedicated time.
100%.
To it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's something I would really like to get done this year because it's, I wanted to get it done last year. It's been sit ready to be put back together for the last year and a half because I two summers ago, I got it to where the engine's done. The engine's fixed. I just got to get it back in the car. And then I was like, oh man, the rewiring all back together, it's a big chore. Mm-hmm. So just putting it all back together is a big chore. It's probably about 20 or 30 hours left on that car and finding that. But the first thing I have to do is spend about another 5 hours organizing all the parts. So I have to remember where they are now.
So, yeah.
Anyway.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah.
A lot of exciting stuff coming next year, including next week.
Yes.
We have a very exciting guest on, Dr. Alexander. He's going to, or she's going to be on with Brian Keller, one of our guests who's been on a couple different times, and going to talk about a lot of different things in the hormonal and holistic health side of things from somebody who's got more authority than we do to talk about it.
Yeah, so, I'm looking forward to having that conversation. That'll be a really good episode.
Oh, absolutely. So that'll be next week, guys. But we will not be talking to you guys again until 2025. So
yeah.
So have guys, a happy New Year.
Just a reminder, this is our 46th episode, and it is our one-year episode. So it's taken a lot of time and effort and moving around to get this many episodes done. And we hope to up our game in 2025.
Yep, we've gone from doing this in libraries to doing this in closets to doing it out in the middle of the gym.
Yeah.
Just never know what's going to be next, but it's been a good year.
It has. All right, brother. I'll see you next year.
That's right. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back next week.
All right, take care.
Hey, look at you. You've completed another milestone by finishing this episode of Loading the Bar. Your future self thanks you profusely. Loading the Bar is podcasted from Lee's Summit, Missouri. Email us at cpt.kansascity@gmail.com. Forge ahead and share your progress. And we'll see you back here for another episode of Loading the Bar.